For what earthly reason would the heavenly Father send down his Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang upon a tree? I wept with the answer that what earthly reason was me. The sacrifice, I was the taker, he was the giver, dying while I go free. Me, the fairest of angels, were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory and his only reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly reason. I was the guilty, he was the sacrifice. Was me dying while I go free, that one earthly reason, that one earthly reason, his only reason.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Man, what a song. What a message. And if you can hear that and it not move your soul, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And then we'll choose a text verse from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 2. Beginning in verse number 1 and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. Now, while you're finding your place, let me say a couple of things. First of all, as we start off the new year, be aware if you're visiting or you're a new member here that we have our A Sunday School that meets at 10 o'clock, our Spanish Sunday School that meets at 12:30. They have church first and then Sunday School, and then our bus Sunday School that begins about 2:15. Now, in order for our buses to make their routes, when we began the invitation during my prayer, our bus workers in the balcony will slip out. Now, every now and then, they make a little noise. They try not to, but sometimes when 75 workers walk out, you know, quietly, they do make some noise. Now, I've said that to you for this reason. That is not your sign to get up and leave. And what we're doing, we're going to consider anyone that gets up at that time during the invitation and leaves as a new worker in our bus ministry. That is your commitment to begin to serve God in the bus ministry. And thought you'd like to know that and be aware of it this morning. And then the second thing I want to say is I want each of you to plan to be back tonight. Though our preaching hour tonight begins at 7, we have pre-services at 6 o'clock, an open forum, then a prayer meeting, and before the evening service. This evening at 6 o'clock, I'm going to ask all the teenagers, the adults, and to meet in here. We'll have a special guest, Brother Peter Morris, missionary to Kenya. He and his wife and daughter will be here to share with us their work. I'm amazed at the young man, not a young man, he's a middle-aged man, but he had leukemia and had to have a bone marrow transplant and still is battling some skin cancer. And he's from Australia. They got the treatment for him back in Australia, and he's well enough to go to the mission field, and he's on his way to Kenya. And they'll be here tonight. The amazing thing, too, is he's ministered in the town where Brother Henry's from, over here from Kenya. And so you'll want to be here tonight and plan to be a part of that 6 o'clock service, and we'll meet Brother and Mrs. Peter Morris. Now, if you found your place, stand with me out of love and respect for God's Word as we begin to read. Now, I love Ephesians chapter 2, and I love it for this reason. We see what we used to be before Christ. We see what we are in Christ, and He tells us plainly how we were saved and what God's purpose is for our Christian life. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." That's every one of us in our lost condition. And He quickened us. That's referring to the new birth when we're made alive in Christ Jesus. Then our old life, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And by the way, if you're having trouble with obeying law, obeying scripture, obeying parents, He tells us who the author of disobedience is. It is the devil. Now, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then if you will, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Talking about the old life in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And the new life in Christ, verse 4 through verse 10. Our text verse is 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Under new management. Heavenly Father, help me today as I bring this message that we might understand the miracle work of God that took place in us when You saved us. You not only saved us, but You changed us. You gave us a life worth living here and heaven to look forward to forever. Now, Lord God, I ask You to use the message today to help young Christians and faltering Christians to get strength and find hope in the Savior, their Savior, Jesus Christ, and realize that God did not save us so we could continue our old life of sin, but that we might have a new beginning and a new life and a new work and a new hope in Christ Jesus. And then, Heavenly Father, I ask You today to save every unsaved person in this building today. And Lord, in our children's churches and our Spanish ministry, would You do Your work and save souls? I pray today that people will go home having found new life in Jesus Christ on this first Sunday morning of 2007. Now, Lord, I need Your help. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Speak through me those things You'd have me to say. Help me to speak clearly and plainly. Help me not to be long and drawn out, but be very concise and precise in presenting the message. And we'll thank You in advance for every soul that shall be saved and every life that shall be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, when we pastored in Louisiana, on Airline Highway, there was an old restaurant. The restaurant was dirty. It was dimly lit. You'd go inside of it, and it smelled of cigarettes and liquor and fried foods. The furniture was old and scarred, and the place was just in terrible need of repair. Not many people ate there because of the type of restaurant it was. One day on my way to make a hospital visit, I drove by the place and saw a new sign. The sign said, "Under new management, complete renovation underway." And we began to watch the place over the next weeks, and they cleaned up the outside of it and put new shrubbery around it and made the outside attractive and clean and fresh, and they gutted the inside. They put new walls up and new flooring down, new carpet and new paint and new menu, new workers, new cooks, new wait personnel. And then when they were finished, they put up another sign that said, "Under new management, come see the difference." And oh my, inside of it, they'd taken that old dirty shell and they just completely made it over. It was fresh, nice, clean, beautiful, and became a good place to eat. I use that illustration to say to you, this is exactly what Christ does with us when we accept Him as our Savior. He takes the old, dirty, worn, sin, polluted, scarred, marred shell, and He makes us over inside. He gives us a new spirit, a newborn spirit. He gives us a new heart, new desires, new want-tos. We come under new management, and there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference. People ought to be able to see the difference Christ makes in our lives, in our scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, we see the sinner and what he was before Christ in the first three verses. Then beginning in verse number 4, because God loved us and Christ died for us and saved us by His grace, we see the new life and the new beginning we have in Christ. And then we're told that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So every person that gets saved comes under new management. We were under the management of the man of sin, the devil. But now in Christ, Jesus has come in. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Our old dead spirit, that part of us that can have a relationship with God, is made alive, quickened. Suddenly, we can commune with God and have fellowship with God, and because reconciliation has been made between sinful man and a holy God. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For my message this morning, I want to consider the following thoughts under the heading, under new management. Number one, if any man be in Christ, he is under new management and he can't enjoy sin anymore. Now, let me tell you, my friend, if you call yourself a Christian and you can go out and continue the old life of sin and the old wickedness and the old evil and seem to get by with it, never have any kind of conviction, God never deals with your heart about it, something's wrong with what you talk about as your salvation. You may have gotten some kind of religion, but if Jesus Christ moved in, He made you a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he's under new management, and he cannot enjoy sin anymore. Now, I did not say a newly saved person would not or could not sin anymore. We can. But may I say that we can't sin and enjoy it, and we can't sin and get by with it. It's the work of God in us to convict us and reprove us and even chasten us to bring us back to the place where we're right with God and what we ought to be. Even in the Old Testament, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. David was a child of God. And sin was repulsive to him. Now, I did not say David never sinned. You know that he did, and I know that he did, but he didn't get by with it. And it brought him far more hurt and remorse than joy. Joy is just for a season. The pleasure of sin is just for a season. But David wept over his sin for many, many months and years after the few moments of sin had passed. Solomon in the Old Testament, Proverbs 8:7 said, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. He was a child of God. He hated sin. He could not sin and enjoy it, and he could not sin and get by with it. Now, they weren't perfect people, but they were Christian people. They were God's people. Because they were God's people, they were under new management, not the management and control of the devil, but the management and the control of God. And when you're in Christ, you can't enjoy your sin. When Saul of Tarsus got saved, his whole life changed. He hated that which he once loved. He loved persecuting Christians. He loved hindering the cause of Christ. He put them in prison. He said some he had put to death. But now then he got saved. And the things he once hated, he now loves. Why? Because he's under new management. He's under new management. One day a real estate lady came in my office. And she was talking to me and she said, "Preacher, I've got to ask you a question." And I was taken aback by the question she asked. She said, "Why can't I enjoy sin anymore?" I don't know why she asked me. I'd have thought she'd ask Brother Tom or Brother Todd, but they're more experienced in that area. But I was taken aback as she asked the question. "Why can't I enjoy sin anymore?" And I began to question her. And she said, I went to a revival meeting and at invitation time I felt compelled to go down and ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I said, "Well, ma'am, the reason you can't enjoy sin anymore is because you're under new management. Jesus Christ saved you. The Holy Spirit moved into your body. That body that used to be under the control of the man of sin is now under the control of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And being a child of God, you can't do sin and practice sin and enjoy it like the old man used to. And you can't get by with it. You belong to God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you can't enjoy sinning anymore." Now again, don't you go out of here and say, "I said you can't sin anymore." Believe me, you can, and we do. We struggle with it every day, don't we? But you're not going to sin and get by with it, and you're not going to sin and enjoy it. Because the one who lives in you is God, and your body is His temple, and you're polluting His temple, and He's not going to let you enjoy it, and He's not going to let you get by with it. Now, let me say a word of caution here. Beware if you're one of these people who claim to be saved. And you just keep on living your old life, keep on living in your old sin, and you don't seem to ever feel bad about it, or you don't feel the chastening rod of God about it. What about you? I'd say that you probably need to check up on what you're calling salvation. Because if you belong to God, you can't sin and get by with it. You're under new management. You're under new management. You probably need to get saved the Bible way. There's a lot of people got a form of religion, but the end thereof is death. You need to be saved. In playing baseball, if you knock a home run and skip first base, you're out. And in Christianity, if you try to get to heaven without trusting Jesus and experiencing the new birth, you're out. You need to be born again. May I say secondly, if any man be in Christ, he's under new management and he will love the gospel story. The gospel is the good news of Jesus' death for our sins and His resurrection from the dead for our justification. The person who has experienced the new birth never gets tired of hearing the wonderful gospel story. In fact, Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe." And he prefaced that statement by saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Oh, my dear friend, if you've been born again, you'll love the gospel story. It tells me about God who loved me while I was a sinner. It tells me about God who gave His only Son to become my sin sacrifice and pay the debt I could not pay. You see, if I had to pay for my sin debt to do so, I'd have to go to hell forever and forever and forever. But Jesus, who had no sin, took my sin upon Him and died in my place and paid that debt for me. I love to hear that story. Nobody's ever loved me like Jesus loved me. I've never received a gift like the one bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. I've never had someone give me the priceless gift that Christ has given me. And I never tire of hearing that story. I never tire of hearing about Jesus and His wonderful salvation. Never grows old. John 3:16 is God's love letter in the gospel, just telling us how much He loves us. One day I walked in one of our bedrooms that we don't use often, and my wife had her old hope chest open, and she had a stack of letters like this with a ribbon around it. I said, "Honey, what's that?" She said, "Those are all the love letters you wrote me when you were in the Navy. We got married, and 2 weeks later I shipped out to active duty in the Navy. 6 months I didn't see her, but I wrote her every day." And she'd kept all those love letters for all those years. I kept the one she wrote me. But reading God's love letter and hearing the gospel story never grows old. Never grows old. Mrs. Smith and I will be married 49 years this June, and I still get goosebumps all over me when she says, "Honey, I love you." And I never get tired of hearing God say, "I love you." And that's what the gospel story is. And if any man be in Christ, he's under new management. And that old story you used to not like to listen to suddenly becomes precious to you. You never grow tired of hearing it. If any man be in Christ, he's under new management. And he loves to see other people get saved. Let me share something with you that's kind of a cucklebur under my saddle. Now, if you don't understand what that means, cucklebur is a sticker, and it just irritates the daylights out of you. Back when I was a boy, we used to take a cucklebur and raise up a saddle blanket and stick it underneath it, and when somebody got on the horse, it stuck the horse, and that horse started pitching and a bucking, see? So when somebody says, "I got a cucklebur under my saddle," they mean there's something that somebody's doing just irritates them to death. Let me tell you what irritates me. People who say they're a Christian and they don't care about seeing souls saved enough that they'll stay through an invitation. I understand that some people have to leave and go to work. I understand that some people have to go to work. They work shift work. And I understand that there are emergencies, but I don't understand getting up and leaving the house of God to go to get a first line, get first of the line at the restaurant. Because you love eating more than seeing people saved. And yet you say you're a Christian. I don't understand that. I do understand if people get saved, they're under new management. And the God who died to save sinners lives in us. And He still loves to see people saved. And so should we. So should we. Do you think Jesus or God ever gets tired of seeing lost sinners get saved? Absolutely not. That's why Jesus came into the world. If Christ lives in us, in the Holy Spirit's person, and we are born again, don't you think that God in us wants to see people saved also? Yes, He does. The Scripture tells us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 10, that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And if that's true in heaven, don't you think God in us on earth ought to be just excited and ought to cause that kind of excitement in us when we see people saved? If someone came up here and said something unusual is happening up here at Moore's cemetery, dead people are coming out of the grave. There'd be a big crowd gather up there because a miracle was taking place. Do you understand that every time a lost sinner gets saved, a miracle takes place? A man passes from death unto life. He is born again. And may I say to you that when we get saved and Christ moves in us, the Christ who gave His Son to save sinners and loves to see people saved will put that same kind of desire and delight in us if we're right with God. If any man be in Christ, he's under new management and he'll love to see other people get saved. Let me hurry on. If any man be in Christ, he's under new management. He has a new attitude about Christian people. Yes, preacher, I'm a Christian. No, I don't go to church. I just don't like people. Christians are hypocrites. Well, the Bible tells us differently. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's under new management. And he suddenly has a new attitude about people. I worked with a man before I entered the ministry. Worked with him for 5 years. He was unsaved. And he hated Christianity. Every time, he knew I was a Christian. I'd witness to him. And every time I came around, he would say something vulgar just to try to irritate me. He'd say something anti-Christian just to get back at me. After I went into the ministry, several months passed and I got a letter from this guy. He'd gotten saved. And he wrote me a letter apologizing for the way he treated me and the things he said about Christianity. And he thanked me for my testimony and my witness to him. Now what in the world happened to that man? He got saved. He became a new creature. He came under new management. And if any man is saved, he's under new management. And he has a new attitude about Christian people. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple if you have love one for another. By the way, Jesus said that. 1 John 3:14. Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It means you're lost. As a lost man, Paul hated and persecuted Christians. As a saved man, he gave himself to winning souls and growing and strengthening Christians. What made the difference? He came under new management. If any man be in Christ, he's under new management, and he transfers his major interest from earth to heaven. The unsaved man lives for this world only. The Christian is to live in this world, but his heart and major interest ought to be in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither doth moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Then he says, for where your heart or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Before I got right with God, even after I got saved, before I got completely right with God, I lived for my career. I lived for sports. I lived for things. But when I got right with God, my life came under new management and I had this overwhelming desire to obey and please God with my life. I think about Brother Keith Gomez, pastor up in Illinois. When he got saved, it was in the 70s, he was a hippie. He was on drugs, drink. He lived for sports. He lived for hunting, fishing, making money, and the world. He'd go to the swamps fishing and trapping and be gone for a month. But he got saved. And suddenly when he got saved, he came under new management, and things that pleased God began to show great interest, cause great interest in his life. He still hunts, he still fishes, best I know he doesn't smoke and drink now. He pastors. No, he's a great Christian man. But because he came under new management, he got saved, his interest changed from worldly things to heavenly things. You know, that's the way it is in all of our lives when we're right with God. I think about another family. Name was Jerovic. When we found them, they were unchurched. They lived for their jobs. They lived for making money. They lived for pleasure. They lived for boating and camping. And they got in, got right with God, and they sold their boat. Didn't ask them to. They chose to do it and gave it to missions. They gave their camper to a missionary family. They took a bus route. Their interest changed from earthly things to heavenly things. Why? They came under new management. Let me ask you one question before I move on quickly. Where are your major interests today? It might say something about your relationship with God. Next, if any man be in Christ, he's under new management and he learns the joy of giving. There's only two kinds of people, takers and givers. Which are you? Which are you? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. May I submit to you, He gives far more to us and for us every day than we ever give to Him. He's a giver, not a taker. If any man be in Christ, we learn the joy of giving. Which are you, a giver or a taker? And then lastly, if any man be in Christ, he's under new management and he's free from the condemnation of sin. You know, before I got saved, I'd wake up crying as a teenage boy, dreaming about judgment and hell, facing God in my sin. I remember as a teenage boy, 15 years old, I was so fearful of dying and going to hell because I was lost, I'd stuff the pillow in my mouth to keep Mom and Daddy in the next room from hearing me cry, a big old teenage boy. In a revival meeting in August of that year, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Never had another dream about hell. I realized that the only thing a Christian will ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible. We'll never go there. I'll never have to worry about standing in judgment and fear of going to hell because I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been born again. I accepted Him as my Savior. I'm under new management. And I know the Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I fear not pleasing Him. Not giving my life completely and fully to Him. But I don't ever fear dying and going to hell because Jesus is my Savior. And my dear friend, if you've never been saved, you've got a reason to look at eternity in fear. You've got a reason to think about hell and tremble. If you've never been saved, you've got a reason to be afraid to stand before God and be judged. But I want you to know you can be saved. You can be born again. You can have new life in Christ Jesus. But you can't have that without accepting Christ as your Savior. You can't get saved without coming the Bible way, and that's coming by simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior. But He has promised if you'll come into Him, He'll not cast you out. He's promised that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the question of questions this morning is, have you accepted Him? If you've never accepted Him, the one who's in charge of your life, the one who leads you from within, is the man of sin, the prince and the power of the air, the devil. But if you've been saved, you're under new management. Jesus now lives inside. He's given you a new life, a new future. He's given you a purpose and a will for your life. He would have you to yield it to Him, to follow Him. Are you saved today? Are you living for Jesus? There'll never be a better time than on this first Sunday of this new year to trust Him as your Savior, to get in church as a Christian, begin to live for Him and serve Him. Let the new manager of your life take charge of your life. Father, thank You for the wonderful story. Thank You, dear God, for Jesus, who makes such a difference in the sinner's life.